11th of December, Pearl Harbor Day, as we've always called it, many years ago. We'll talk about that a little later. Right now, it's our 3:30 focus, and on Wednesday, we talk to some of the great personnel from Advocate Trinity Hospital, and we've just had a real education with all of the surgeons, doctors, administrators. The president came in. It's just great, all the good information we've been getting. Today, we're going to discuss something that a lot of people don't know a lot about, for sure, and that's plastic reconstructive surgery. And with us, we have Dr. David Schifrin. Doctor, how are you, sir?
Doing great.
Good.
How you doing, Cliff?
Good, good. Thanks so much, Doc, for joining us today. This is something we hear about but don't know a lot about. First explain it and then tell us who are the people. Obviously, we know about the breast operations and so forth, but there's a lot of other things to reconstructive surgery or plastic surgery, we call it, than just that, isn't there?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the field itself includes, like you said, both reconstructive and cosmetic or plastic surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been doing a lot of breast reconstruction at Trinity Hospital, which is a really, really nice community hospital, reconstructing patients' breasts after they have breast cancer and mastectomy. It's a wonderful option for patients. They're able to come to the hospital with a breast, have it removed after their cancer operation, and then leave the hospital with a breast. That's one aspect of what we're doing at Trinity. The other thing is we're opening a new program for cosmetic surgery at Trinity Hospital. And that's going to offer breast implantation, facelifts, tummy tucks, liposuction, eyelid surgery, nose surgery, essentially any sort of aesthetic surgery that people would want to change, improve their just modify their look a little bit.
Doctor, run over that again. Facelifts, you started with what else? Liposuction?
Yeah, liposuction, facelifts, all different sorts of body contouring procedures, which are tummy tucks or, backside surgery for the backside to augment the backside.
Mm-hmm.
Do
people, I can understand folks doing this, but doesn't that cost a lot of money?
Well, yeah, cosmetic surgery is out of pocket, but...
Because the insurance doesn't cover this.
It's not. Yeah. Some of it is insurance covered, specifically if you have a very large breast and you need to have a breast reduction, that's covered by insurance.
Health, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that'll
right.
also mm-hmm. give you a lift. Lift to your breast to reposition your nipples and to get you back to where you were, when you were in your teens or 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's part of the tummy tuck is covered by insurance. It's called the paniculectomy, which is essentially just removing the skin and the fat below the belly button. But the full tummy tuck is not covered by insurance. That is a cosmetic procedure. Now, Trinity Hospital does have a package in place, which is competitive with all the surgery centers in the area, and so they have some very good pricing for the community.
One thing you did mention, and when I asked you to go over them again, Dr. Schifrin, you didn't, and which I thought would probably be one of the most frequent requests, and that was for the nose.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Cliff.
What is the most frequent request on the cosmetic side?
Nationally, it changes every year a little bit, but liposuction is very popular. And rhinoplasty, which is, nose surgery or nose reshaping, is very popular as well.
So between
those two. But it
changes
from year to year. It also is dependent on the region of the country that you're in.
Well, that's interesting. How is that?
If you're in Florida or one of the southern states, it depends on your patient population. If there's certain patient populations like different types of cosmetic surgery, some of the southern states have more of an interest in something called a Brazilian buttocks augmentation, which is transferring fat from other areas of the body to the buttocks itself to make it more shapely and more full.
Okay. And that's called Brazilian.
Yeah, it's called a Brazilian butt augmentation.
Have you been to Brazil, Dr. Shiffrin?
I haven't, but I heard it's wonderful.
It is.
Have you been there?
Yes, I have. I was going to tell you. I can understand the name. That's why it kind of amused me.
Yeah, well, yeah. The procedure was initially invented in Brazil. That's
that's the real reason. Okay.
Brazilian buttocks augmentation.
So it's not the cosmetic appearance. That's where they start doing it. I got you.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, like you said, though, most of the cosmetic surgery is out of pocket. But we are offering financing as well, so you can finance your surgery.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, you can finance, too. We are pleased to have another one of the great doctors from Advocate Trinity Hospital. He is a plastic surgeon and reconstructive surgeon, Dr. David Shiffrin. And our number is 591-1690, and Debbie has a question for you, Doctor. Debbie from the South Side. Hi, Debbie.
Hey, Nessie. I bet you thought I'd be ashamed to call today, didn't you?
No, I didn't think
I
that.
I am not ashamed to call and ask about liposuction. Actually, wait a minute. I'm willing to make some donations to whoever wants the Brazilian thing done.
Oh, you'll
give them
your liposuction to them.
Right.
Oh, that's funny.
They can have all the fat they want off of me. But listen, I'm trying to see. It's funny. I was thinking about this today. I really was. So I'm trying to get some idea because a friend of mine had liposuction done.
Yes.
And said that her doctor told her that even though she wasn't very big, that part of the body will never go back on its own, no matter how much you exercise and how much you diet. So he convinced her that the only way to get rid of it was through liposuction.
Sure.
And I'm telling you, at 60, almost 60, she looks really good. Now I'm jealous.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out approximately, I know you don't usually talk prices over the radio, but if you don't mind, approximately how much would something like that cost and how much would it hurt?
Yeah. So it depends. That's something very unique to plastic surgeons and each individual patient. It depends on how much work needs to be done, number of areas that need to be addressed, the amount of operative time. So there's a lot of variables that go into the pricing of it. And so there's a wide variety. So I would be doing a disservice by just throwing a number out there.
Yeah, because two patients could have the same request and have a totally different amount of money, right?
Yeah, because different people's body types are different,
right,
and they may require
more
operative
work.
Time or more work to do to get the desire or to achieve their goals.
Right.
But can you tell me, I mean, is it very painful? I know you have to stay in these elastic type things or whatever.
Yeah, the post-surgery, we put compression garments on. Sometimes we'll leave drains to remove any of the fluid that comes out. And, you know, you'll have some discomfort, but you'll be given pain pills, and certainly you're up and walking the same day. That's a big thing with liposuction and really any body contouring procedure, which means tummy tuck or liposuction, is you have to walk to prevent blood clots. So liposuction is a great thing for improving a specific area of concern.
Mm-hmm.
It's for contouring. It's not for a massive weight reduction. That's something that patients sometimes don't understand. But you can really improve the appearance of your waistline or whatever, you know, concerned area you have.
How much in liposuction, Dr. Shiffrin, is for cosmetic reasons as health reasons? Because a lot of people need to take off weight around the waist for health purposes, right?
Yeah, if somebody is, exceedingly obese, then they should, you know, consider having a massive weight loss surgery, a gastric bypass, or a
one of those that's
types
different.
Of procedures.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And actually, that's another thing that plastic surgeons do, and that I do as well, is after people do have massive weight loss and their weight has stabilized, they have some excess skin and hanging skin, and they need to have a lot of different areas addressed, and those are also addressed by plastic surgery.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Debbie,
yeah.
Thank you for your call.
Thank
Good
you for
questions.
Your call.
Yeah, appreciate it. Let's go to Dee from the West Side for Dr. Shiffrin. Hi, Dee.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Hi. Anyway, I'm on my cell phone. I have a question. I have a very broad nose.
Yes.
And I was thinking about getting my nose reshaped.
Yes.
Rhinoplasty. However, I've looked on the TV and I see a lot of news people having their nose reshaped.
Yes.
And I see cuts on the outside of the nose. I've seen some that look like they were messed up.
Yep.
So the question is, what types of ways do you end up reducing the nose? And then number two, why is it that some of them, it seems like African-Americans, they keloid. So if you know that
yes.
you keloid, does it make sense to end up getting that type of surgery completed? Thank you and have a great day.
Oh, sure.
Good call. Thank you.
Thank you for your call. It's a great question.
Yeah.
There's a number of questions involved in there, but to address the, how do you pick a surgeon? Well, obviously you have to meet with a plastic surgeon or the cosmetic surgeon and make sure that they have before and after photos to show you so you can firsthand see their work, make sure that you're comfortable with both the surgeon and their office staff. You can also look at their where they trained. That's also very important.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the next question was addressing keloids. And
well, before that, she was talking about, and I know exactly what she means, because I know somebody, Dr. Schifrin, with the same problem that Dee was talking about, that this person, a lady, had the rhinoplasty, and it scarring. It was terrible.
Oh, okay, sure.
Yeah, and this was not a person of color, so it's not the keloids, but it was
yes.
just, I don't know whether it was just a bad job or what, but it did not look good at all.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of rhinoplasty is exceedingly an artistic procedure, and that's why I really stress looking at before and after pictures and making sure that you're comfortable with what you see, because what you see in the before and after pictures are probably representative of, number one, the surgeon's skill, and number two, you know, their artistic ability, their eye for reshaping the nose. Rhinoplasty is a very specific procedure, and each little millimeter of a tissue resected will be visible on the outside. In particular, you know, African Americans have
with the keloids. Yeah, mm-hmm.
yeah. African Americans have a lot of different nose types, but there are some hallmarks of African American nose, which is a wide middle part of the nose called the mid vault. It's kind of a wide, flattened nose, and then the lower part we call it the ala. That's basically the base of the nose
mm-hmm.
where you breathe through. That is also wide. So there's a number of different techniques to reduce that. A lot of times you do make an incision in the crease there and try and hide it in the crease. If somebody has a propensity to keloid and they have keloids on their face, I would just avoid putting a scar there altogether and try a different technique to reduce the width of the base of their nose.
Dr. Schifrin, what are keloids?
Yeah,
and
so
some people have that, as you say, and some don't, right?
Yeah, so anybody with a propensity to form keloids or hypertrophic scars are a person who has a very strong healing process. And when we get an injury either by surgery or by a cut, our body lays down collagen and goes through a process of healing. Everybody normally has a raised scar,
mm-hmm.
and then over time, the body reorganizes the collagen and makes it smooth.
Mm-hmm.
People who have darker skin in particular have a propensity to form really thick scars. A hypertrophic scar is just a thick scar. A keloid is a scar that actually grows outside of the boundaries of the initial wound.
So is there any way of knowing whether the person has that propensity prior to surgery?
Yeah, I always ask all my patients to show me some areas where they have had scars, and I look and see how they scarred. And if they've scarred and appropriately, then we can assume that their healing process is appropriate and that they won't form a keloid.
Mm-hmm.
If they have areas that have bad keloids, then there are things we can do to try and avoid them.
I see. So you can still do the rhinoplasty, notwithstanding the keloid situation.
Yeah, and, you know, there's also there's two types of rhinoplasty. One is with a small incision on the base of the nose. Another one is without making any incision in the outside of the skin. So somebody who had a propensity to scar poorly and have keloids, I would do internal rhinoplasty. I would avoid making any cuts on the outside of the skin.
Wow. And you can still do that. You can have the same effect without any cuts on the outside of the skin.
Yeah, well, obviously every case is specific to what the patient.
Right, sure, what they want.
What they want, but you know, you can do the majority of the work through internal incisions.
You probably have heard that story about the woman who was in an automobile accident, Dr. Sheffrin, and you know, she saw the long tunnel and the whole bit, you know, the light at the end of it. She says, well, I guess this is it. And the voice says, no, it's not. No, you've got another good 30, 40 years. And she says, oh, great. She wakes up in IR and in ER, rather, and so forth. And she's getting better. And she says, well, as long as I'm here, I'm going to do this right. She has a tummy tuck, liposuction, the butt augmentation, all the things you're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
She has all of that. And even got her hair colored different, and she called her friends and said, listen, I'm getting out of here. You got to give me, bring me some new clothes and some 3-inch heels, and, you know, looking good. She walked out, everybody said, ooh, they were applauding. She walks out, gets taken out by a bus right in front of the hospital, and she's in heaven. And she said, I thought you said I had another 30 to 40 years. She said, listen, I'm sorry, I didn't recognize you.
Good one, Cliff.
That'll be good for you, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So this is interesting. So you said that the Advocate Trinity is doing something special now relative to this.
They are. Advocate Trinity Hospital is putting together a package for cosmetic surgery patients where they're going to be competitive for patients in the community or really anywhere who want to come and have their surgery. They're going to be competitive pricing with the outpatient surgery centers.
That's great. And you also said, Dr. Sheffrin, that there'll be a way to work out payments, right?
Yep. They have. We should be getting financing in place so that you can finance your surgery.
That's great.
Yeah.
That is really great.
Actually, some of the administrators from Advocate Trinity asked me to mention the phone number.
Sure.
And a website address.
Right.
That'd be
please.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
The phone number for information for to find my office, to see me, or to see any of the physicians at Advocate is 1-800-3-ADVOCATE. So 1-800-3-ADVOCATE.
Mm-hmm.
And the website is www.advocatehealth.com/trinity, T-R-I-N-I-T-Y.
Okay, let's take those one more time.
Okay, the phone number again is 1-800-3-ADVOCATE. And the website is www.advocatehealth.com/trinity, T-R-I-N-I-T-Y.
That's great. That's fantastic. And they can reach you through either one of those methods also.
Yep, and they can Google me as well.
Great.
David A. Sheffrin.
S-H-I-F-F-R-I-N-M-D. Uh-huh. Well, you are a wealth of knowledge on this issue. And, there are a lot more people who are really considering that. I mean, it's always been something that was always looked at as people who had to be fairly wealthy, but a lot of people I know are doing that, and I'm sure with this new situation at Advocate Trinity is going to be great.
Yeah.
Yep. And I want to thank you, Dr. Sheffrin, for all of the great information you gave us today.
Thank you very much, Cliff.
All
really
right.
Appreciate being on your show.
And you have a great afternoon.
Okay, take
all
care.
Right.
Bye.
Dr. David Sheffrin, we didn't get to all the callers, but again, 1-800-3-ADVOCATE, 1-800-3-ADVOCATE, and the website, www.advocatehealth, that's all one word, .com/Trinity.
So, are you up for a little visualization?
Imagine firsthand news at your fingertips.